This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The city of San Antonio is looking at an overhaul of its animal care services strategic plan, and the public is being asked to comment about what's working and what's not working with the local pet and stray population. There's a public meeting tonight at Miller's Pond Community Center on Old Pearsall Road. Other meetings are also on the calendar, and the public's invited to attend. And we're going to be talking about this critical and emotional issue right now here on The Source. What needs to change in San Antonio to get a handle on the animal population overpopulation problem? We're talking dogs, cats, and chickens. What do you want to see happen? San Antonio is a no-kill shelter city. How well is that working? Should we have mandatory spay, neuter, and a whole lot of other issues in regards to how we're going to take care of our cats and dogs in San Antonio? We invite you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can tweet us at @tprsource. We're joined by Officer Shannon Sims. He's Assistant Director of the City of San Antonio's Animal Care Services Department, and Lisa Norwood, Public Relations and Outreach Manager for Animal Care Services. And welcome to The Source, both of y'all. It's great
to have you
here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, on. Sir. Lisa, tell me, why change this Chapter 5? That's the technical jargon for what's happening here. Was there a motivating factor?
No, I think anything more than just the fact that it's a living document. You know, we know that we have laws in our community to reflect what our community holds important, what our community wants to regulate. And in Chapter 5's case, we hadn't really done a good look at Chapter 5 in several years. It's been about 5 years since we've touched Chapter 5. And as our community has grown, literally and figuratively, we've decided that now's the time we really need to get in there and make some adjustments, maybe make some big changes. It's all dependent upon what we hear from the community.
And what are you hearing? You've had several meetings already.
We have. We've had, what, 5 meetings so far,
five
Officer
so
Sims,
far. Yes.
Throughout the community. And a lot of what we're hearing is directly related to what we call responsible pet ownership. You know, making sure that animals are fixed and not roaming. Making sure that animals, if they are tethered, that they're tethered humanely. That's a huge one here in San Antonio. We've been seeing a lot of folks talking about permits and the number of animals that you can have on your property. Everything from dogs and cats to the aforementioned chickens. We've been hearing from a lot of people talking about what is the reason behind these laws. Why do we need to even have a law that determines whether you can or cannot have a certain number of animals on your property? So a lot of the general things that we consider responsible pet ownership, folks have been bringing out. A lot of what we've been seeing, though, at these community meetings are folks who are doing it right, folks who know how to take care of their pets. So we're hopeful with their support and with further education, we can get to those folks who aren't doing it right and make sure that we're holding them responsible.
And that gets to enforcement. So, Officer Shannon Sims, you are on the front line. You're out there dealing with the enforcement part of this, right?
Yes, sir.
And what do you see?
I mean, what we typically see out there, major calls that we see are roaming animals. You know, animals that are, we used to hear a lot that there are a lot of strays in San Antonio. What we've really found is most of the animals that we see roaming free of restraint are actually owned animals. Through the implementation of our microchip licensing program a couple of years ago, we've actually been able to start tying animals back to owners, which has kind of brought to light that, you know, really it's an irresponsible pet ownership problem. Of course, sterilization.
So what happens to that owner?
What we do typically is there's two citation forms that we have. We have an actual criminal citation. However, the majority of our citations we do are administrative citations, which basically seek compliance. It's a $300 citation, but if you come into compliance before your court date, say you don't have a rabies vaccination or your animal doesn't have a microchip, at that point, that citation, the fine for it, can actually be reduced significantly by the judge, down as low as $25. So first and foremost, we will be citing the individual for any violations that we see. If that animal is found free of restraint and is not sterilized, it has a 30-day requirement where they enter into a contract the animal has to be sterilized within that 30 days, or they could see, you know, additional citations following.
So I'm hearing how complicated this can be.
Yeah.
Is all that tied to this chapter 5, Lisa?
Of course. All of it's everything is connected. When you talk about pets, period, as I'm sure you've seen on past shows, it gets people fired up. It gets people very passionate on both sides of the proverbial fence. A perfect example of that is one of the things that's been the most passionate thing that people have been talking about is animal sales. This is something that we have a huge problem in San Antonio.
Now, animal sales are banned?
Animal sales on the side of the road, at flea markets, at festivals and street right-of-ways, that is illegal in San Antonio. So what do folks do when something's illegal? Well, they look for a way to figure out how to do it another way. And what we've seen is a huge increase in folks selling animals online. Not only websites, but of course, things like Craigslist, even Facebook, you know, there's a very popular site on Facebook that people will go on and sell animals, almost like a rummage sale.
Well, we got a comment about that from Gavin Nichols at the San Antonio Area Foundation and part of their Animal No Kill initiative. And he's complaining about the animal sales that we have here. And he says that the Express News publishes ads for pet sales in their printed and online version. He calls this irresponsible. I mean, is there any way to crack down or to use that as a way to cite those people?
Well, David, right now, it's not actually illegal for the person that is advertising for the individual that's selling the animal. And that is something that we've had discussion about during these Chapter 5 meetings is, should there be accountability on the person that's allowing folks to sell at a flea market? Should there be, you know, accountability for folks that are allowing the advertisement of, you know, unpermitted sales? So that is definitely something that we're looking into and trying to get feedback on during this Chapter 5 discussion that we're having.
So what's the penalty for violation?
For the roadside sales, $300. There's the possibility that the animals could be confiscated. Then the only way that the individual would be able to get them back would be to actually come down, pay impound fees for each of the animals. And then, of course, like I said, there would be citations associated with that.
And it's $300 per animal?
It can be, or it's officer's discretion if they want to write for the entire litter or if they want to do it per animal.
How often is something like this enforced?
It's difficult right now just because of sheer volume. We actually went out this weekend and we found...
So it doesn't make sense. If sheer volume would mean it would be easy.
Well, sheer volume of total calls, again...
Versus amount of officers.
Yeah, I've got 35 to 40 officers right now. We do about 107,000 calls a year with those 35 officers. Obviously, we have a priority system in place, which makes it difficult sometimes to get to those.
Okay, so we got a lot of callers here. We're going to get them on the air in just a moment. We're going to continue talking about the refining, the readjustment, the refeathering of San Antonio's Chapter 5 Animal Care Services Strategic Plan. We want to hear from our listeners. The number is 210-614-8980. You can also email your comments to the source at tpr.org. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about San Antonio's Animal Care Services Strategic Plan. The City Hall is looking at revising it, and they're looking for public input. Give us a call. What do you think needs to happen in order to make San Antonio a better city in regards to our overpopulation of cats, dogs, and maybe chickens? The number is 210-614-8980, and Joshua is on the line. Joshua, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you. I had to take a deep breath before I called you all. It's for animal people, I think we see animals as sentient beings. We see them with rights, and I feel as though the standards for reporting neglected animals is a little low. I'm told whenever I call in to report an animal, I see just tethered to a fence or out in the weather, behind someone's yard, as long as they're getting food and they're relatively out of the sun, that's okay. And I think it's the level of apathy down here. I'm from up north. I see a lot of organizations sending dogs up north, and I wonder how it is that we can just change the psychology behind animals and how we can get more people to understand that animals are people too, so to speak. And I'll get off the air so you can comment.
All right, Joshua, thank you. Unfortunately, you can't pass an ordinance to change people's psychology in regards to how they're going to treat their animals, but we can pass ordinances that will have rules and enforcement and consequences for people who do not follow those rules. So what are the rules right now, Officer Sims, when it comes to tethering of dogs?
Right now in the city of San Antonio, basically the tether has to be at least 10 feet long. It is legal to tether to include chain, as the ordinance and the state law is written right now. The animal has to have access to appropriate shelter, which is defined as three sides, a roof, and a floor that keeps them out of the elements.
Like a doghouse?
Yeah. It has to have constant access to potable water. There's a lot of things that we're getting feedback on actually for the city ordinance right now that's going to help us potentially increase the enforceability of some of that aspect. However, concurrently, right now, the state legislation is actually meeting, and they're addressing the tethering law. One of the major pieces of that is that it would outlaw chain altogether if that does pass. So it's kind of working at the state and the city level right now concurrently.
What would that mean, outlaw the chain altogether?
Basically, the use of any chain whatsoever. We do see people that use swing set chains sometimes. Some folks use things as heavy as tow chains, you know, to actually tether their animal. And this state law would actually, of course, supersede all municipal ordinances, and it would allow us to basically enforce a complete ban on chain altogether.
So ban the chain, but then they would be able to use some other sort of substance to tether the animal.
Right. And there are weight requirements associated with whatever's tethering the animal. Right now, the city ordinance reads that it has to be at least less than 1/10 of the animal's body weight. We've heard some recommendations saying maybe we reduce that to 1/8. You know, we've heard kind of some various feedback. Some folks don't see a problem, obviously, with the chaining. Some folks think we should ban it altogether, and that's the kind of feedback that we're wanting to get to see where we move as a community.
So that's where I get to the unintended consequences. Ban the chain, ban the whole thing, don't tether the animals, and then what happens, Lisa? How do people typically react to something like that? Does that mean, well, now we're going to have more stray animals?
What if I have a hole in my fence, or worse yet, don't have a fence at all? How am I supposed to contain my animal? You know, a lot of folks in our community, whether we like it or not, will keep animals on their property to act as guard dogs or to guard their property. And a lot of folks that do this may not have any other means of keeping their animal on their property other than that tether. What we're trying to say is that if you are going to tether, that you do it humanely. There's a number of different ways that you can humanely tether an animal and ensure that it stays on your property. Obviously, best case scenario, you get a fence. You know, you keep your animal contained in a fenced yard and ensure that they remain contained in the fenced yard. But the chains is something that we see, and it's something that can very easily turn into animal cruelty. We've seen folks that will chain animals directly to their neck rather than using an actual collar that the chain is attached to. So it's a very controversial subject. And if this state law passes, it's going to obviously give much more discretion to our officers to hold people accountable who do chain inhumanely.
Another caller, Kim. And hi, Kim. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I fully support the efforts and applaud ACS for the steps they're taking towards controlling the dog population and vicious dogs. But with this Chapter 5 changes, they're also proposing changes that are going to further restrict backyard chicken keepers. And my little flock of chickens has never been vicious. They don't cause any problems, yet my little flock is restricted even worse or even stricter than the vicious dogs. And I just can't support the city going to any other lengths. I'd like to see them eliminate the setbacks that we currently have and allow us to have more than three chickens in our backyards.
How many chickens do you have, Kim?
More than three.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your call. Full disclosure, I'm also a backyard chicken guy. Yeah. And the eggs are great. And the chickens are just like, you know, like pets. you know, and so my dogs get along with them just fine. But so what about that, with Kim's point there, you know, Officer Sims?
So there's also, again, kind of running in parallel with us revising the Chapter 5 ordinance, there's also some legislation right now talking about chickens. If that state law were to pass or were to pass into law, it would allow six chickens basically in any municipality. No municipality would be able to restrict to less than six chickens. So if that passes, you know, the whole discussion kind of becomes a moot point from our perspective. That's kind of why right now, you know, we're trying to have these critical discussions with folks, gathering that input, because there's been no line drawn in the sand as of yet as to where it's going to fall. And we're getting some good input, you know, from folks like Kim that say, hey, you know, absolutely. Others saying, you know, maybe we need to ban roosters. Maybe we don't need to have any kind of restrictions on chickens. So we're definitely taking all those into account as we're kind of producing this.
So why ban roosters?
Roosters tend to be a noise nuisance primarily. You know, we get most of the calls that we get with for, you know, chicken issues are associated with roosters. We frequently go into places where we end up having to seize animals where there's 200 fowl on the property, and you know 195 of them are roosters, which kind of leads you to, you know.
So that's like maybe someone who's probably raising roosters for fighting.
Quite possibly, of course.
It's a bit of a red flag.
Yeah, it's definitely a red flag. But of course, then being able to actually get a conviction on something like that, you know, there's a lot of evidentiary, you know, information that has to go into it to get that type of a conviction. It's definitely not an easy.
But for a normal person who may have a rooster in their backyard, suddenly everyone within a 5-block radius is aware of that rooster.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we've been in discussion about is the fact that, well, folks say, you know, I want my hens so that I can have eggs. Well, you don't need roosters to have eggs.
Yeah, but when you go buy your little chicks at the feed store, they tell you they're all chickens, they're all female,
right.
But there may be a you know, somebody slipped
random
through.
Random rooster in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, surprise rooster in there. Yeah. And so do people show up at animal care services, Lisa, and say, I've got a rooster I want to get rid of, or what happens?
A lot of times.
Or do people say, I thought I wanted chickens, they looked really cool, now I don't want them?
Interestingly enough, we have only received, in recent memory, two turned-in chickens. That I can think of. They were two young female, they were female chickens that were turned in. And all the other chickens that I can think of, the hundreds that
seizures.
We've seen over the years have been connected to animal cruelty seizures. The noise issue is something that we see, but it's directly connected to roosters. And something to point out for Kim's call, I know she said that she had more than three roosters, or three chickens, that's okay. You can have more than three chickens in the city of San Antonio. There's a permit process. It's easy, one and done, you know, with a permit, and you can have as many chickens as your property can have.
Yeah, but you say that, but then there is the permitting process, and you look at, like, how far is the setback from, is the coop from the house, and how much space the chickens do have, and I mean, people may not feel like they want to go through all that. So
sure, understood. We do live, though, in a tight-knit community, sometimes very figuratively. You know, some of our yards are not as big as we'd like them to be, and so our laws are put in place to protect and support the majority. And
sure.
While the majority of folks may not have chickens, the folks that do can certainly have them if they'd like. There's just a little bit of paperwork.
Right. Okay. So another caller, Jan. Hi, Jan. Jen. Hey, Jen. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. I love when you guys have stories on the problems with stray dogs or just tethered animals or any kind of dog-related subject here, because I'm so passionate about this problem. Like your earlier caller who's from up north who saw a problem down here, I've lived here for 10 years, and I'm basically a volunteer dog catcher, it appears, as though they jump in front of my truck and I pull over and save a dog. Today I rescued two on my own street, and I luckily knew where they belonged. So ultimately, I believe that we're wasting a lot of time on the Heather rules and all this other business that revolves the ultimate problem, which is why are we tethering our animals? Either because they're not fixed, they're not spayed or neutered, and they wander, or because we've lost interest in them and they're a nuisance, or because we can't afford a fence. So number one problem I see, before we go making rules as to the gauge of the chain or the cord, the 10-foot length of life that this animal needs to have for the next 15 years, which is not that's a pretty fair age that a dog can live to when, you know, fed and watered properly. I think we really need to be focusing on the neutering and spaying issues here and really figuring out how we can make an incentive out there for people to bring their animals in. And I've said it before, another time you brought this subject up, cash for clunkers, it worked. I will pay you, the city needs to say to these dog owners, $10. I will pay you $10 to bring your animal in and we will have them fixed. You will leave with $10 in your pocket. No one can tell me that won't solve a problem ultimately in the next few years. I really think roosters are an issue. Chickens should not take precedence over the terrible problem we have in this area with stray dogs and wandering animals.
Okay, Jen, thank you for that. So Lisa Norwood, $10 to get a dog fixed. How soon would that bankrupt the city of San Antonio?
The number of dogs that we have out there that need to get fixed, I think it's a great idea. I really do. And I see where Jen's coming from. We do have a huge problem with animals reproducing intentionally and otherwise in our community. And we do need to do a better job of getting folks on board with spay-neuter. You know, the city supports spay-neuter up to the tune of $500,000 a year. It sounds like folks like Jen would question, is that enough? Earlier we were talking before we went on air about how if you can throw enough money at something, you know, maybe you can really get something done. When you talk about the number of animals that are out there that may need to be sterilized, you're talking millions of dollars. And I think a more feasible solution would be working with our local veterinary community to get them on board with also providing low-cost services for folks. Maybe not actually paying people to do it. Maybe that's not something that we're prepared to do at this point, but at least getting even more than the half dozen clinics that we have doing low-cost spay-neuter every year.
So when we come back from this break, let's talk about a mandatory ordinance, a rule saying that all cats and dogs, we've got to talk about cats too, because they can be a nuisance as well, need to be spay-neuter. And how would that work? How can you enforce it? What do other cities do? San Antonio is not the only city in the U.S. that's got this type of problem. Have we looked around to see what are the best practices? And we'll keep answering some of these callers that we're getting a lot of calls. 210-614-8980. What are your concerns as San Antonio looks to overhaul its animal care services strategic plan? Are we considering what's best for animals or what's best for people in the city of San Antonio? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. 78201, 78204. Those are the two local zip codes for the most dog bites on mail carriers. That's according to the U.S. Postal Service. And I guess if cats attack postal workers, that would probably be those zip codes as well, because they're also a nuisance in the area. We're talking about the many animal control problems that we have in San Antonio, and the City Hall is looking at the snout to tail, a total rethink on all of the issues concerning our overpopulation of cats and dogs. Should we have a mandatory spay-neuter requirement for animal ownership? How would that work? Lisa Norwood is with us. She is a public relations and outreach manager for Animal Care Services, and Officer Shannon Sims, assistant director for the City of San Antonio's Animal Care Services Department. So, Lisa, how would that work to have a mandatory spay-neuter?
Well, the way that it's been suggested to us is that it would be something that would be across the board. If you own a dog or cat in San Antonio, it has to be sterilized. Now, the only exceptions would be animals that cannot, for medical reasons, be sterilized, and that's something that you'd have to provide the note from the veterinarian indicating as much. We've also talked about the potential for exceptions for animals that are show animals. AKC doesn't allow sterilized animals to participate in their dog shows. So something like that could potentially be an exception.
But why do they do that?
I don't know. That's an AKC rule.
AKC is what?
That's the American Kennel Club. So these are the different dog shows that that you see sometimes on TV. Of course, we have some pretty active kennel clubs here in San Antonio as well.
So okay, so that seems like that's a impediment towards trying to change the thought process of people about getting their dogs and cats, you know, fixed.
Well, I can tell you, though, on the flip side of that, at least here in San Antonio, the Bexar County Kennel Club has been an incredible supporter of animal care services. You may remember 5-6 years ago when Cesar Millan came into San Antonio to do a show. That was all sponsored and put together by the Bexar County Kennel Club. Every single year, they encourage and have animal care services out at their dog shows, the River City Cluster of Dog Shows. We're there every single year talking about spay neuter. So it's something that they recognize is important in their community, and they do support it.
Okay. And so what about spay neuter? So, Officer Sims, would you go out and do a dragnet? would you hit the pooch parade, making sure all animals participating are spay neutered?
Right. And that's where the problem lies. Again, realistically, right now, we do have a mandatory spay neuter policy that has to do with animals that are found to be roaming free of restraint. So if your animal's caught by one of my officers and he's running around, it's mandatory. The owner has 30 days to get that animal sterilized. The discussions that we've had have ranged from what Lisa said, you know, 100% mandatory spay neuter for every animal, or are we going to do this? Are we going to expand the violations that would require that spay neuter?
What do you think the percentage is of dogs, cats spay neutered in San Antonio?
Well, we're seeing, you know, what we're seeing right now is we actually track the ones that we're sterilizing because they've been impounded. That we call it a first impound sterilization, and we're looking at about a 60% compliance rate on that.
That's an F.
I think it's a D.
Where I went to school, that would be an F and a call to your parents. Okay, let's get some callers in on this. Vicki. Hi, Vicki. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Vicki Spearman. I'm a rescue person in San Antonio. First of all, I do want to thank ACS for taking the initiative on reviewing laws and ordinances in this city because we really need some change. One question I would like to ask is, isn't it required right now for people who are breeding their animals to have a permit? And how many of these permits are even purchased each year?
Okay, and answers?
Yeah, actually there is a requirement to, you know, for a breeder to actually have a permit in order to do that. The problem is the way the ordinance is written right now, it's fairly non-enforceable once we get it to court. That's actually one of the major permits right now that we're looking to rewrite to make it more enforceable. One of the aspects of it that we're looking at is right now if we find somebody that's in violation, they get a $300 citation. Some of the things that have been proposed to us is at that point, not only do they get the citation, but the breeding mother would have to be sterilized, and the pups would have to be sterilized before they could basically get rid of the pups or sell them or whatever. And, you know, trying to kind of get ahead of the ball game on that. So there would be further implications other than just a $300 citation, which they sell one pup for $300 to $500. They've made their money back.
All right, not to put this in too cute of terms here, but it sounds like I'm hearing that a lot of these ordinances are all bark, no bite, and that you want to put more teeth in them in order
Absolutely.
To get results.
Absolutely. That's exactly why the vast majority of these from our tethering to our barking dog ordinance, you know, the noise nuisance to, you know, all of those guys, they're really, really difficult to enforce once we get to court, and frequently they get thrown out of court.
Okay, Renee is called in. And Renee, hey, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
How you doing, guys?
Great.
As a dog owner, I have to keep my dog on a leash or in a fence or you know, somehow restrained. And I just see it hypocritical that people that own cats are allowed to allow their cats to roam free. And someone has a garden and is somewhat environmentally sensitive. Cats defecate in our gardens. They eat our birds. I'm trying to attract birds to my yard, and I just all I find is feathers everywhere. How do we address that? How do we take care of people who allow their cats to roam free, yet as a dog owner, I have to have them restrained? And I'll take my answer off here.
Renee, thank you for the call. And so that brings up a great point. Cats can be a nuisance as well. We know that they can overpopulate a neighborhood and just be all over the place.
Right now, the city of San Antonio basically looks at cats as not free of restraint. Cats or roaming cats are not considered a nuisance as defined by the city.
And that was a policy change. It used to be that
correct.
Cats were a nuisance.
Correct. And so what we've done is basically we're...
Cats didn't change.
Right.
But suddenly...
The policy did.
The policy did. Was that policy, you know, maybe we should rethink that.
And that's something that we definitely are receiving input on. We are regulating via cat colony permits. And one of the main reasons that cats were considered to be non-nuisance being free of restraint is we don't have packs of marauding cats attacking people.
They've been in my neighborhood. I've seen them take down a cow.
Exactly.
So, but cats are all over the place. They do interfere with our bird population. You know, it's a thing.
Yeah, and like I said, one of the major mindsets was the fact that they are a far less risk to the civilian population, and also everybody needs to keep in mind that ACS's primary concern is public safety. That is our primary mission. All the other stuff is kind of ancillary, and because of the fact that we don't get an extensive number of severe cat bites or attacks or things like that, that's probably the mindset.
Okay,
that
so you have to do triage on where you're going to put your limited resources.
Exactly.
And so right now you want to make sure you want to avoid vicious dog attacks, and which they do happen periodically. And
absolutely.
That's a tragedy, because frequently it's little kids that get attacked. And so, Lisa, is that, it does happen from time to time.
It absolutely does happen. And like you said, tragically, a lot of times it's children. And one of the things that we have tried to do over the years is do that education specifically for kids so that they know how to behave around animals. In many of our neighborhoods, it's not unusual for kids to walk to school and for there to be loose animals in their neighborhood. And because, as Officer Simmons said, we have a limited number of officers, if we can't be there all the time, our children in our community need to know what to do should they come across an animal roaming in their neighborhood. So we do dog bite prevention in all of our schools. It's something that we recently revamped. And San Antonio actually just became the first city in Texas to have certified humane educators on our staff, talking to children about dog bite prevention, talking to adults about dog bite prevention.
Another caller, Lee. Hi, Lee. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, there is one place that you can control these stray problems without even passing a whole lot of laws, and that's these apartment complexes. I used to do rescue around apartment complexes, basically trap, neuter, and return to the owner. And especially with cats, that's pretty easy to do. So that if the tenant moves out and leaves a cat or a dog outside, doesn't take it with it, then all you'll have there is a cat or a dog. You won't have 50 cats and 20 dogs after a year. The problem is that the complex itself should require spay neuter for all pets and a reduction of maybe $50 in the pet deposit. That would be the incentive and a list of low-cost spay-neuter clinics posted where the tenants can see it, and then require the animals to be kept inside, walked on a leash as dogs would, or the cats, they do well in a house.
Okay.
So that's the problem.
All right, Lee, we're going to try and talk about that real quickly. So that's a great point of contact. Apartment complexes, they deal with a lot of people at once. Is that a way that we could sort of figure out how to a multiplier effect on implementing policy, Officer Sims?
I would say that even right now, HOAs and apartment complexes and folks of that nature, they do have the ability to be more restrictive than the city policy currently, is. So we actually see that quite a bit, where the apartment complex or an HOA will restrict something that's not necessarily illegal within the city as an ordinance. So it is beneficial at times, but it does require the action of those particular organizations, those private organizations.
And people need to stop feeding stray cats, and that's where they start overpopulating. All right, so we're going to continue the conversation when we come back from the break. We've got some phone lines that are open. The number is 210-614-8980. We'll get to as many calls as we can in this next segment. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Officer Shannon Sims, Assistant Director for the City of San Antonio's Animal Care Services Department, Lisa Norwood, Public Relations and Outreach Manager for the Animal Care Services. We're talking about the city actively seeking input from the community about redoing its Chapter 5 Animal Control Ordinances. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. We'll try to squeeze you in with all these callers that we have right now. Let's get Jennifer H. Jennifer H., welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to first of all say that thank you to ACS for doubling down and really working to try and address some of this. It is a problem here, and I've noticed a big difference in my own neighborhood. But I just wanted to say that I think part of the problem is public stigma about ACS and education. And I think if they get some of this money coming in from fines and everything, that they should throw that back into changing the public perception, maybe putting up billboards or, you know, going to more schools, doing more positive programs to help kids understand how to respect animals and, just to teach, because I don't think we're going to change a whole lot with adults right now in this city.
All right. Thanks. So Jennifer H. is looking for a multi-generational approach, trying to reach kids. And unfortunately, the way departments work at the City of San Antonio, they can't dedicate fines to a particular cause, because then that would possibly motivate enforcement to particular areas to generate revenue. Everything goes into a general revenue fund at the City Hall, and then there's budgeted approaches towards how we're going to do enforcement and outreach. But Lisa Norwood, what do you think?
I think Jennifer hit the nail on the head. I'm a little bit biased, obviously. Part of my job title is outreach. But we definitely have teams that are out there. Could we use more people doing it? Absolutely. In fact, we have an education coordinator position open right now, looking to fill out more of our team to go out there and speak to the schools. We go to events. Just this past fiscal year, we've already been at almost 400 events, just talking to people about what we do at Animal Care Services, about the resources that we have. You know, San Antonio is very lucky, and I think that when we talk about all the different issues that we have, what kind of gets pushed to the side is how much we actually do have. As an example, there's 6 spay-neuter clinics in San Antonio that do nothing but free and low-cost spay neuter. 6. Some places like Houston and Dallas have 1 or 2.
Right, but Officer Sims, frequently people do not take advantage of those services, free services, and even when you go door to door offering people that you will pick up their animals and take them to be spayed and neutered, and you will bring them back to them to all ready to be no longer having little litters, they decline.
That's correct. We have had some different programs where we've actually gone door to door in the areas that we've defined as needing the most help in spay neuter, and literally signed folks up, said, "We'll come to your door, we'll pick the animal up, we'll take it, we'll bring it back this afternoon after this free spay neuter's done," and had folks meet us at the door and basically say, "You know, I've changed my mind," or just not answer the door at all. And I would really kind of agree with Jennifer that, you know, the stigma aspect of it is tremendous. A lot of folks are still thinking about ACS 10 years ago when we had a 10% live release rate. Really just the information, folks coming up to speed at the progress that we've made. We're definitely not, you know, we're not at the finish line. We'll never be at the finish line. However, we definitely, you know, are making strides to improve. You know, we went from 10% live release to 90% live release in roughly 10 years.
Okay, Lisa's on the line. And Lisa, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. So I've been involved in the rescue community for just over a year now. Met some wonderful people, really gotten into the nitty-gritty, coming across families in the lower income areas where they do have animals. They have litter after litter because they're not aware that we have certain zip codes which do allow the free spay and neuter. Now, I know you mentioned that you have gone door-to-door. You come back, you're ready to go, and the owner says, just kidding, I've changed my mind. Fortunately, knock on wood, I have not had that failure. I've come across so many people on the east side, on the south side, on the southeast side. You know, we get alerts. There's a group of us on a Facebook page and say, hey, I see a stray. Hey, I see a litter of puppies. And us as volunteers with our own time and money will go out to these neighborhoods and say, hey, this is what I heard. I can help you with your litter. I can help a rescue take them. Were you aware that you can get spay and neuter done for free? You fall in the zip code. 99.9% of the time, these people say no. I understand that ACS goes to events, you hold functions, but the problem is with a community of that, they don't go out to those functions. You got to literally go to them. Like hold, I don't know, some sort of event right in the center of the neighborhood or put in flyers on their mailboxes at their doors simply saying hello. I think, though, if you say you're from ACS, red flags go up. And they're not going to want to talk to you. But I think people like me who were average, normal people just trying to do a good deed, help the city and help the animals, they're more open to that. And when I go to people, I don't even mention ACS. I just say, hey, I work with a few rescues. I know a few people. Let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help the dogs. But I think it all goes back to changing the attitude and the way people perceive things. You got to change the people before you can address the stray problem.
Okay. Lisa, thank you so much. I really admire your passion. I can hear it and your good work out there trying to deal with this issue. So Lisa is kind of your undercover animal control officer volunteer out there. Do y'all do things like that, Lisa Norwood? Go and put flyers up.
I actually am hoping Lisa will call back and give me her phone number because we do block walks every other week. And in fact, just on Saturday, the Saturday before Easter, we block walked 2,000 homes off of Gillette over near Palo Alto College. So this is the kind of thing that she's absolutely right. We need to do more of. The reason why we only did 2,000 homes on Saturday was we only had 20 volunteers. What if we'd had 50? We could have done twice as many homes. So she's absolutely right. We do need to go out and put out flyers like we did on Saturday. We need to go out and hold clinics, hold events in neighborhoods. That's something that we do every single month. We go to a different high-risk area. It's called our Comprehensive Neighborhood Sweeps Initiative, and we're always looking for volunteers to come and help us do it. So hopefully Lisa will get involved in that.
And it's really good to have people from that neighborhood deal with their own neighborhood so that they can realize this is a community, a local community effort. An email from Naomi says that her neighbor lets their dogs loose with no tags, running around, barking all night long, all hours of the days and night. They refuse to repair their fence to prevent the dogs from getting out. This person, Naomi, calls 311 to complain. The operator says, we'll send a message to Animal Care Services, and they have 7 days to send a dog owner a letter, and the city needs more animal care officers to patrol the streets and respond more quickly. So, Officer Sims, your enforcement, what do you think?
I would agree that it would be great to have more officers. At the same time, while we do send the letters out, a lot of times what the letters are, it's informing the individual. However, what we do, we actually look back at the call volumes for the areas and have actual officers respond. Once we see a trend going on, something else that I highly recommend is, folks call 311, but there is the 311 app right now that you can get on your smartphone that actually enables you to take a picture of the animal while it's loose, put the information in, it goes into 311. That gives us access to that picture, and we can actually cite them from free or restraint based on that picture of their animal being loose. So the officer doesn't necessarily have to visually see that animal at that time?
I have to live with my neighbor next door, okay?
Right.
We're not going away. He's not going away. I don't want to tick him off for narking out his dog. How protected am I with this type of an app?
The information is anonymous. The officers do not release that information. There is an open records request, you know, basically a process that, you know, somebody that's been complained upon can request information. There's information that's redacted from that, but largely the individual can, you know, be relatively assured that they're anonymous.
So you're not completely shielded, but you're pretty much are going to be.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
So Jim has called in. I think it's our last call. Jim, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. conversations like these are really great. I think that there are a couple of points I want to make real quick. You know, there's a real problem with Bexar County and San Antonio jurisdictions. So that needs to be a unified jurisdiction for animal control. The other issue is that the only way this is going to stop is by continuing education. And that's a really good thing. I have a home in Concord, but we have property on Roosevelt in San Antonio. The problem with San Antonio is that it's becoming a sophisticated city, and we've got to change the culture, and that goes towards education. The one thing that I really want to touch on is that the truly silent sufferers in all of this are rabbits. They're the third largest companion animal in the country. They don't cry out. They're very quiet. You can have 100 in your yard, and they can be suffering from cruelty and neglect, and that is a big problem. I've seen it. I have a rabbit sanctuary in Concord, California, but I have seen horrific conditions in Bexar County, Texas.
Okay, Jim, we've got a minute to respond to that. Thank you for the call. Lisa Norwood, rabbits. We just got off of Easter. I saw people giving out rabbits for Easter. What happens to those rabbits?
The rabbits that we see, the ones that are died on the side of the road, they lose their novelty after a while because that's just what they are. They're a novelty. So we would obviously never.
But people bring them to you?
On occasion, I think it's pretty well known in San Antonio that is illegal. So most of that sort of thing will go out in the county.
Right.
That's something that Jim spoke to.
Well, we talked about having to make a priority of things, and animals, dogs, they're the biggest problem because they do attack people, and we do have an overpopulation of dogs in San Antonio. Lisa Norwood, Public Relations Outreach Manager, Animal Care Services, Officer Shannon Sims, Animal Care Services Department, and there's a meeting tonight at Miller's Pond Community Center. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.